Welcome to this podcast by The Rocks Church. We hope you find it challenging and inspiring. For more information, visit therocks.church.
Hey everyone, my name is Daniel Indrajaya. I'm the lead pastor of The Rocks. I'm glad you could join us today as we continue our message series, The Ride of Faith. If you're not a follower of Jesus Christ, can I encourage you? I have faith that by the end of this message, you will have a lot of things to think about, and I want to encourage you to continue in this journey of faith, and we're here to help you. You know, we live in a crazy time right now. I think everything that's happening around us, everything is so surreal. I feel like everything is coming out of a science fiction movie or something. People are losing their job, people are losing their mind, people are getting frustrated. We don't know what's gonna happen. We don't know when this is all gonna stop. And this caused a lot of people to be frustrated, and I can understand, I get it. Maybe for some of you, you don't really feel the pinch. Maybe you have enough savings to go for months. Maybe you get to keep your job. But I can guarantee you this, that at one point or another, every single one of us, we're going to face some kind of trouble. We're going to face some kind of hardship. Because 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ has already predicted this. He said, "Have peace. In this world, you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world." Jesus' word is very reassuring that in the middle of hardship, trouble, we can have peace. How? Because Jesus has overcome the world. Do you know that this world that we live in is not a perfect world? This is not the world that God intended. This is a sinful world that we live in. And God in His grace, God in His mercy, sent Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago to set the wheel in motion to reverse the effect of sin in our lives. That's why, as followers of Jesus Christ, it is our duty to continue the good work that Jesus began 2,000 years ago and spread the love and the grace of God to everybody. And during this time, especially, this is the time where we together as followers of Jesus Christ need to come together and spread this good news of Jesus Christ, the good news of love, grace, and forgiveness, and the news of overcoming as well. You know, in the midst of this troubled time, we can have peace. The key is faith. The key is, do you trust that God is still in control? Do you trust that Jesus has indeed overcome the world? That's why today I want to go back to the basics. I want to invite you on a journey with me as we look at a passage in the Bible. It's taken from the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 1. If you're new to Bible study, our Bible has 66 books, 39 books of the Old Testament, the time before Jesus, and 27 books that were written after the time of Jesus, and the book of Hebrews is found at the end of our New Testament. So if you have your Bible or Bible app, turn with me to Hebrews 11, starting from verse 1. Actually, this is the one main verse that we're going to look at today. It says this, "Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see." The key words here are confidence and assurance. Can you have confidence that what you're hoping for is gonna happen? Do you have assurance in that hope even though you don't see it? How do we have this kind of faith and hope and assurance? You see, in order to understand fully Hebrews 11 verse 1, we need to look at it in context. We need to know to whom this letter was first given. And it's easy for us to find that out, all right? If you go back a few verses earlier, I want to invite you to go to Hebrews 10, starting from verse 31. This is the people to whom this letter was first given. Actually, we kind of find out that like us right now, they too went through some kind of hardship, but they responded in faith that was unbelievable. That's so good for us to know and model after. So in Hebrews 10, verse 31, it says this, "Think back on those early days when you first learned about Christ. Remember how you remained faithful, even though it meant terrible suffering. Sometimes you were exposed to public ridicule and were beaten, and you helped others who were suffering the same things. Can I pause right here and tell you, it is easy for us to have faith when things go our way, when everything is good, but it is so difficult for us to continue to have faith when things don't go our way. And these people, the early Christians, not only did they go through some really tough times, but look at verse 33. They help others who were suffering the same things as they were suffering. So not only were they surviving the difficult times, they were thriving in it. They were being a blessing through the suffering. Let's continue in verse 34. You suffered along with those who were thrown in jail, and when all you owned was taken from you, you accepted it with joy. How can that be? Everything was taken from them, and yet they were able to accept it with joy. The reason why is in the next sentence. You knew there were better things waiting for you that will last forever. You see, their hope, their confidence, their faith is not that God is going to get through the tough times. They didn't mind the tough times. They were helping others through the tough times. They were waiting for something better. It says, you knew there were better things waiting for you that will last forever. Christians, can I encourage you right now? This world that we live in is not all there is to it. There's an eternity waiting for us. And because of what Jesus has done for us on the cross, this eternal life is guaranteed to everyone who puts his or her faith in Jesus Christ. That's waiting for us. The eternity with all its rewards is waiting for those who are faithful. And if you are not a follower of Jesus Christ, can I encourage you to find out more about Jesus? Find out more about how you can put your faith in Him like we do and discover that there's a lot of meaning to this life that you probably never knew before. That there's actually hope that is based on something solid, something real that you can hold on to even after this world is over. And we're here to help you in that journey of faith. Let's continue again, verse 35. So do not throw away this confident trust in the Lord. Remember the great reward it brings you. Patient endurance is what you need now. I feel like verse 36 speaks to our situation right now in the year 2020. Patient endurance is what you need now so that you will continue to do God's will. Then you will receive all that He has promised. And verse 37, I love it. For in just a little while, the coming one, that's referring to Jesus, in a little while, the coming one will come and not delay, and the righteous will live by faith. The question is, are we living by faith? Because the righteous will live by faith. We are the righteous, not because we are better than others, but because the righteousness of Jesus Christ has been transferred to those who believe. That's why the righteous will live by faith. So my question to you is, are you living by faith? And this raises another question. What is faith? How does it work? How can I live by faith? Let's go back to our original verse, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Let me read it to us again. Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Again, the two keywords, remember, is confidence and assurance. So get this. Faith is not a feeling. Faith is not wishful thinking. It's like, you know, it's not when you say, I hope it's not going to rain, even though you knew the weather forecast says it was going to rain because you put your laundry out. You said, I hope it's not going to rain though. See, against all odds, you were hoping something that you're not sure whether it's going to happen or not to happen. That is not faith. That is wishful thinking. Or when you say, I hope I'm going to win the lotto, even though you know mathematically you get more chance of being struck by the lightning than winning a lottery, but still you're hoping for it anyway, that is not faith. That is wishful thinking. The author says, the Christian hope is different because the Christian hope is based on this confidence that it's going to happen. So the question is, how do we get this confidence? Easy. In your day-to-day life, how do you get confidence in something? The answer is, you get confidence through two things, experience and reputation. The reason why a lot of people are not afraid to fly is because they have experience that flying is safe And airlines have built this reputation that flying is a lot safer than driving a car, for example. People have confidence in Apple, for example, even though their products are more expensive. But people buy Apple products in bunches because of experience and reputation. They have good experience with their products, easy to use, reliable, and the brand itself, you know, the reputation of Apple precedes itself. That's why they have customers coming in droves. That's the same thing with every company. Companies that have people coming back, repeat customers. The reason why they have repeat customers is because of experience and reputation. So, this is how we have our confidence in God. The experience that we have with God as followers of Jesus Christ, you need only to look back to know that your experience with God has proven that God is faithful. And the character of God, the reputation of God, after verse 1, in the following verses in Hebrews 11, you will find the witnesses of this faith, people who live in the Old Testament, who testified to all the goodness of God. Some of you might be thinking, yeah, but I need to see it first in order to believe it. Actually, in life, there are a lot of things that we don't see, and yet we believe. The other day, I went to the pharmacy to give my prescription, and the lady at the counter asked me if I wanted a generic brand as a replacement to the actual brand, and I said, what's the difference? And she said, there's no difference except the generic brand is cheaper. That's all they need to say to an Asian. I'm cheap. So I said, go ahead, go for it. Let's go for the generic brand. And then she went back around some shelves. I did not see where she went. I did not know if she was a good student at the pharmacy school. But I had faith somehow that she was going to do the right thing. Because by reputation, by experience, even though I do not see, I trust that she's going to give me a good medicine. This is what I'm trying to say. The object of your faith is much, much more important than the size of your faith. Let me say it again. The object of your faith is so much more important than the size of your faith. When you have a surgery, would you rather have a student doctor to operate on you? Or would you rather have an experienced doctor with 100% track record to operate on you? Is it better to have big faith in a student doctor or little faith in a very experienced doctor? I pick the latter. That's why the object of your faith is more important than the size of your faith. Or to put it another way, faith is about trusting that the one you trust is actually trustworthy. That's why later in verse 6, the author of Hebrews says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. It's not difficult, it's impossible to please God. It doesn't say without religion, it's impossible to please God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Why? Because when you don't live by faith, you are saying that God can't be trusted. When you don't live by faith, you're calling God a liar. When you don't live by faith, you're challenging God's authority over your life. That's why the just shall live by faith. That's why without faith, it is impossible to please God. I love how my fellow students at Dallas Seminary put it, Dr. Tony Evans. He says this, faith is acting like it is so, even when it is not so, in order that it might be so, simply because God said so. I love that. It is so memorable and it is so true. The key word here is acting. That's why the Bible talks about walking by faith, not just talking by faith. You can talk the talk, but unless you walk the walk, that is not genuine faith. God is trustworthy. Okay? This is my question to you. Do you believe that God has the ability and the integrity to do what He promised to do? Once again, do you believe that God has the ability and the integrity to do what He promised to do in every aspect of your life, over your health, over your relationship, in your singleness, in your marriage, in your sickness, in your joblessness, through this virus spreading around? Do you believe that God has the ability to keep you to protect you, that God has the integrity to do what He promised to do. You know, in so many different places, God says He's not going to leave us. He's not going to forsake us. The sun will not harm us by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord watches over our coming and going. There are so many verses that speaks over the promises of God in our life. But we know that God is true to His promise because of our experience with Him and because of His reputation that we have known throughout history. There are so many saints in the past, from the Old Testament, in the New Testament, after Jesus' time, during the time of the church, God has proven Himself again and again to be a faithful God and to be a God who is able to give us what He promised. I remember when Jaden was little, I sometimes would put him on a table and I asked him to jump to me. And Jaden's first response was, no! He was really scared, but I kept encouraging him. I said, Jaden, Daddy will catch you. Daddy will catch you. And Jaden kept saying, no. And then I approached him and I grabbed him so that he had a feeling of jumping over me, even though he didn't jump. And then I put him back to the table and I asked him, Jaden, now can you just move your leg forward? Jump to me. So he's starting to like put one leg forward, and then I would lean in and I would catch him, and he would be so happy that I caught him. And then the next time, you know, he'd lean in even more with both of his legs, and then I would catch him again. And the next time he would like jump a little bit, he would ask me to move forward a little closer. Dad, can you move closer? I said, of course, Jaden. I move closer to him. And then he would jump to me, a little tiny little jump, and then I would catch him again. And then, you know, slowly he would jump longer and longer. I would stand further and further away until, you know, that would be our game. He would jump to me, you know, every now and again. I remember at one time, he even jumped to me. He said, Daddy, catch! And I wasn't even looking. And good thing I turned around quickly and caught him. Now, what changed? How did Jaden have so much confidence in me all of a sudden? It wasn't all of a sudden. Through reputation, through experience, Jaden slowly built trust, slowly built his confidence that his dad is true to his word. When he said he was going to catch him, that he really would catch him. And my friends, that's exactly our God is like. God is like that. God is there for us the whole time. He is our good Heavenly Father. He would be true to His promise because of His character, because He has proven Himself through experience that He is that kind of a God. Okay? So as we close our time together, I want to encourage you, if you are a Christian, recall how God has been faithful to you. And during this time, I'm telling you, this is not just a time for us to survive, but this is the time for us to thrive. I want you to be an example. I want you to be a light in this very confusing world right now. I want you to have this confidence in God that would be contagious for others to see, because the world is looking at you right now. The world is looking at us right now to find hope, to find that confidence. And as followers of Jesus Christ, we have that hope. We have that confidence. So I don't want you to follow the pattern of this world. I don't want you to hoard stuff. I want you to give away stuff. I want you to be generous. I want you to help others during this time, because our God has been like that to us. So we should be giving that kind of confidence to others all around us. And if you are not a Christian, can I challenge you to continue on your journey of faith? Can I challenge you to find out more about Jesus, as I said before, and maybe place your faith in Him? If you have any question on this, feel free to contact us. We would love to help you. That's why we're here. That's why we exist. We exist not just for the Christians. We exist for everybody who wants to connect or reconnect with their God. Finally, I want to encourage you with this awesome, awesome psalm that has always been an encouragement to me, especially in times like this. So would you listen to this amazing promise from God as we read Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for His name's sake. You see, He has a reputation to keep. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely, goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are a trustworthy God, that our faith is not based on an assumption, our faith is not based on wishful thinking, but our faith is based on something real. Our faith is based on you, the good God that you are. Thank you, God, that through our experience, we can know that you are a good God. Thank you, God, that through your reputation, saints of the past, present, they all testify to your goodness in our lives. So, Father, I pray that during this time, that you will help us not only to survive this difficult period for everybody, but I pray that you will help us to thrive, to be an example, to be a light that shines brightly in this dark world. And church, it is a custom in our church to be dismissed by receiving a prayer of blessing. So receive these blessings. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, our Heavenly Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you wherever you go. May God bless you through and through. May people around you know God because of you. May God's name be glorified now until Christ comes again, even forevermore. Amen. God bless you, everybody. I'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more great resources and to keep yourself up to date, head to our website. Visit therocks.church.